Well, that's a blessing, because all of you are beautiful.
You know that? That's not an ugly one of them. That's the truth. We're all made in the image of God. And God made us in His image.
He gave us a dignity and a beauty about us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's a blessing. One fellow said, he said one time, you're just as beautiful as you think you are. But anyway, be it that way or whatever, we're still made in the image of God. We are beautiful. And I praise the Lord, all of you. There's not an ugly human being on planet Earth. You remember that. Not one. And that's what part of our, one of our great efforts, Josh has worked with Brother Phil Crossan, put together the beautiful campaign. It's one of the best witness cards you'll ever have. We're ordering a whole lot of these, because I'm telling you, when somebody gets this and scans in this QR code on the back, instantly brings them right to the knowledge that God loves them and that He made them in His image and He wants to be their Savior and can cleanse them and forgive them and be their Savior. And that's a blessing. All right. Well, it's good to see you. So many here this morning. Good to see Tab back and Zach. And David's here with us. And Kitty, what a blessing. That's great. There goes my buddy out there. He comes in and he walks with Papa across the stage here. That's my pal. He'd probably let me just hold him and preach this morning. But I'm going to Matthew 15. You go there with me. Are you comfortable as far as the temperature? You want me to turn it down a little bit? Everybody, so far so good? Okay. I see some fanning. I see others that's got a sweater on. But that's all right. If you're cold, if you're hot, swap places with them that's cold. And you know, preachers have the answer to everything, right? Yeah. May not be the right answer, but we got one. So, in Matthew, we're traveling through with the miracles of Christ, and it's so wonderful. As we've been going through these miracles, we've been realizing how wonderful the mind of God is, that we see Him at the very time we need that particular truth and that miracle. God gives it to us, and we see the sovereignty of God. We did that when we walked through all the books of the Bible. Wow. We'd be amazed, you know, on some of those Old Testament prophets that would be in that minor prophet there. Just had a chapter or two in it. Nobody knew where it was and had to look up in the front of the Bible and find out who in the world is this. But anyway, we'd find from him a truth that we needed. And we came through that pandemic and all of that. The CDC has lifted most of their restrictions and restraints and jail terms and all that stuff that they had out there for everybody, and no more social distancing and these things. And I thought, what changed? Because 3 weeks ago, everybody was telling you, need to do that again. And I tell you what changed, the ability to order people around. Your mindset, my mindset. We got to realize, folks, and we need this more than ever. We have one master, one king, and his name's Jesus. He's our king. We have to be what our founding fathers were when old King George was trying his best to usurp authority over them. They started saying, we have one king, and that's Jesus. One king, one sovereign, and that's who we have. We need to remember that in these days particularly, because there's such an attack against Christendom today. And so I want to just encourage you, remember that. And I'm hoping more folks will be back in church now because CDC said it's safe. Well, it's been safe anyway. God tells us to come, we come, and we're thankful we can. Those joining us through our website and our Facebook page and YouTube, we're grateful you are there and hope you'll continue on. But if you're physically able, you're within driving distance, well, by all means, come and be with us here in the services. You understand that the Lord has left us, He left us with three things. That's all He left us with. He left us with the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Spirit. Christ said, I must go away, because if I don't go away, I cannot send to you another comforter just like me, who is me in essence, the Holy Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit. He's been here for 2,000 years. He won't go back till He takes the church and presents the church as the bride of Christ, then I think his influence will still remain around here because people will be saved during the 7-year tribulation. And without the Spirit of God, that cannot happen. But we have the Holy Spirit Jesus left us with. He left us with the Word of God. We have to have this Word. This is truth. We have to have it. It's what we feed on. It's what guides us, directs us. It is that which gives us meaning for life, is the Word of God. Tells us how to operate. And then we got one more thing, and that's the people around. It's the church. We have the church. The Lord said, you'll need all three. So as my days of my coming approach, then don't forget to assemble yourselves together, and even the more so. We need all three. We cannot do without any of the three and be a prosperous, victorious Christian. It's not what God intended. So let's cherish all three of these. Let's cherish the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Agree in your heart that you will not quench the Holy Spirit. Dr. Sam Sparks used to put it like this: I will not stifle the efforts of the Holy Spirit to make a great Christian out of me. I will not stifle or quench the efforts of the Holy Spirit to make a great Christian out of me, because that's what He's doing. He's working. So we don't want to quench the Spirit. Secondly, let's get in this book that guides us, directs us, feeds us, tells us what to do in the next minute often, and the next day. And it gives us purpose in life, this book. And then one another, the church. Thank God for a loving, caring church such as we have here. Those that's part of our church family that watch on Facebook and on YouTube. Thank you for and you're part of our church family. We cannot do without either one of the three. So just keep that in mind. That's not the message, but it is a message too. In Matthew 15 is this wonderful story. It's a story that's shocking in many ways because we see our Lord teaching us some things about prayer and seeking Him. Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And we see that lesson here very well. We see also some great truths about faith and the favor of God. How faith moves the heart of God. Now if I ask this congregation this morning, how many of you need a miracle in your life? Probably everyone would say, there are things I need that only a miracle can do. And I doubt if there's not a one here this morning that doesn't need a miracle of God. Well, this lady was in that condition as well. And she needed a miracle. It wasn't for herself, though. It was for her daughter. Thank God for those praying mothers. Thank God for those Christian mothers. Oh, my goodness, where would we be without the influence of good, godly women? How important you are, ladies. I could almost make this a Mother's Day sermon because it shows you how important you are. This lady understood the importance of getting a hold of Jesus on behalf of her daughter. I don't understand how incapacitated the daughter was. She was demon-possessed. Whether she was physically incapacitated where she couldn't get to Jesus, or whether she was so demonically under the influence of Satan that she would have nothing to do with Jesus. And as the demon-possessed men and the maniacs of Gadara, when Jesus stepped on shore, they ran down there and said, what do we have to do with thee? Get out of here. You wonder why the world hates the church so and why the world is so against the church, because there's so much demon possession. They are so demon-possessed, they want nothing to do with the church. Perhaps this young teenager is in that condition. Either way, she didn't get to Jesus, but her mother did. Hallelujah and glory be to God. You realize in the Bible, it teaches us that women, godly women, influence nations. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse number 12. Daughters, the daughters of Jerusalem helped rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. They influence nations. Abraham Lincoln said, no doubt, the greatest influence in his life was his Christian mother. George Washington, the same. Others of our leaders, their mothers. One of our local leaders who was a great friend to me and a friend to our church, Delegate Joe Johnson. Brother Joe and I, we conversed many times. He told me once, he said, I listen to your radio program every morning. And he says, a lot of times I'm heading to Richmond as I'm listening to it. But if I'm in the area, I'm listening to them now. Brother Josh has got it on podcast, so you can listen anywhere in the world. But Brother Joe said, I listen to your radio program, and I appreciate what you have to say. And it gives me insight on how I should even conduct myself in the halls of the Capitol there. But he said this too, and this was put in the paper about him. Always tried to make those decisions that would please Mother. Now think about that. That would please Mother. Because his mother had such a godly influence on him. So, ladies, according to the scriptures, you influence nations. As I said, daughters rebuilt the walls, or helped rebuild the walls. Nehemiah 3:12. Bathsheba interceded on behalf of her young son, Solomon, when another one of the sons of David was trying to force his way into the kingdom and take the kingdom over. 1 Kings chapter 1, you can read that story. We find that women influence cities and communities as well, and churches, great influence. Proverbs 31 and 23 tells us these words. The last 15 verses of Proverbs 31 tells you that influence. And then certainly they influence the home. We see, I believe, no greater miracle and lesson learned than that right there in Matthew 15. How the greatest work that could be done for this teenager was for her mother to get in touch with Jesus on her behalf. So you're an influence to the nation, you're an influence to communities and churches, and an influence in the home. Oh, what a wonderful, important place you have. So understand that, ladies. Sometimes, particularly today, who'd have ever dreamed that we'd be in a day where the place of a woman is now for some people who do not have enough intellect and common sense to where they cannot tell if they're a woman or not. That's tragic to be able to say that from the pulpit, isn't it? It's tragic, and that they could decide on their gender and decide who they are. Again, a demonic spirit leading them away from what the Bible teaches will not have it. Thank God for those of you who will. And ladies, you are definitely honored in this passage. You may think not, but you are. In Matthew chapter number 15, verse 21, this miracle is also recorded in Mark chapter number 7. Then Jesus, this is right after he had fed the 5,000 men, and no doubt there's some Bible scholars says there could have been as many as 15,000 people there that Jesus fed. And then Pastor Josh preached on when the disciples were sent across the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus came to them walking on the water, and he brought that out and preached that message to us as well. And now they're in this place. They've gone to the area of Phoenicia. And that's the land of the Canaanites. And this lady was, she was the descendant of the Canaanites. She was, some of their main cities, their two largest cities were Tyre and Sidon. We read about them in verse 21. And so remember, the Canaanites did not really think well of the Jews. So there was bad blood between them. But Jesus and his disciples went there. I think they went there to avoid several things. I believe they needed dress. They also were avoiding all these crowds that wanted to make Jesus the king right then and there. Not king of their soul, not king of their life, but king of their nation and king of kings over all of those things and throw the Roman government out. They wanted that to happen. I don't want you to be really nosing around in my business, Jesus, but just be king in these areas that I want you to be. Be sure I have food. Be sure I have housing. You know, be king there, but don't nose around in my business. You know what? It's still that way today. People want Christ many times as a box of tissues as Tylenol, as something to help them when they're hurting, you know, as a quick loan down at the place where you can take your title to your car and get you a title loan. They like Jesus like that, where they can handle him and put him up here and put him over here and in Jesus, but don't mess around too much in my business. I was witnessing to a girl one time, and she said, you know what, Brad said, you're such a pleasant fellow, you'd almost convince me to be a Christian. I said, I sure wish I could. That's what I want to do. That's the greatest life. She said, I believe it is for you. I said, well, what about for you? I got some things I'd have to give up, and I'm not going to. I said, wait a minute. Christ is greater than anything you have. You ought to know that. She said, I know it is, but I like what I'm doing right now. Doesn't that speak volumes to what's going on today? I like what I'm doing right now, and I enjoy what I'm doing right now, so don't mess with me with Jesus till I get in a bad place. Well, this lady had a different attitude about it. Jesus and his disciples have gone to Phoenicia and the area of Tyre and Sidon. By the way, I love history and I love Bible history. This is the same area, same region where old Elijah went to be fed by the widow woman when the drought was going. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord has people everywhere? And here in this same region, Jesus goes back, same region that old Elijah was fed by the widow woman. Well, the Bible tells us in verse 21, he departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. There's her first plea, her first prayer. She comes to Jesus on behalf of her daughter. And we've spoken about that already. And says she's grievously demon-possessed. This lady recognized that. And she says, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Look at verse 23. But he answered her not a word. He didn't respond at all. Now, sometimes in my prayer life, when I go to my Lord, I don't get the answer right then. It's as almost as if the heavens are brass. But does that mean he hasn't heard? No. He did hear her, but he didn't answer her. And there's a reason. There's several reasons here. We'll note in a moment. But he is actually building her in her faith, moving on in her life to increase her faith. She's not a child of Abraham. She's not part of the Jewish race. She's a Gentile. And right now, dispensationally, then and there, Jesus had come to offer himself to the nation of Israel. He had come as their Messiah. John chapter number 1, he said, the Lord came unto his own, and his own received him not. But he came to his own. He came to them first. He came to present himself as the Messiah, as the King, as their true Savior. But again, they were like so many. It says, we want you to overthrow Rome and establish a political kingdom, but we don't want you messing around in our life because it's too messy and we like the mess we have. We don't want you there, Jesus. So they rejected him, which thank God opened the door that you and I, as Gentiles, you and I could come in. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But this dear gal, she comes and says, hey, oh Jesus, have mercy on me. Oh Lord, thou son of David, and here's my problem. I got a daughter that's demon possessed. Didn't ask a thing for herself. Didn't ask for have another care. Did she have others? Well, of course she did. You got a daughter that's demon possessed, you got children's not right with God, you got all kinds of problems besides that. So she was there. He didn't answer a word. Now the disciples came and besought him, say, send her away, for she cries after us. Send her away. And the word cries after us means she continued to ask. We just have three of these requests, but she continued asking. She wouldn't give up. And the disciples says, listen, she's getting on our nerves. Send her away, Jesus. She's not a Jew. They don't really care for us over here. We just wanted to get a break and get in the house and be alone for a little while and listen to you and talk about things and get some direction. We don't need this gal here. She's out of time, out of place, out of her own, can we say, her own nationality, where she should even be using the word Son of David. But see, I believe this gal had a little insight even some of these disciples didn't have. She believed he was truly the Messiah. She believed that. I think so. And so she comes to him and he didn't answer. Disciples discouraging her here. There's a lot of opposition to your faith, by the way. You'll find every reason why you shouldn't pray, every reason why you shouldn't attend church, every reason why you shouldn't read your Bible. You'll find every reason to oppose your faith. But I wonder if you'll persevere. Now, our Lord, though, He does not commend her for persevering. He does not commend her for anything except, in a moment we'll see, her faith. He did commend that. He didn't commend her humility, although she's humble. He didn't commend her adoration or worship, but her faith. So, your faith and my faith, the enemy, Satan, is always out there to oppose your faith. He's doing everything possible to get you to stop reading your Bible. Don't read it. You don't have time. Don't pray. You don't have time. Don't go to church. You don't have time. Hey, listen, you hear every excuse and every reason not to do these three things, but you need all three. Notice, not only did the disciples discourage and ask Jesus to send her away. By the way, knowing these disciples, they didn't come to Jesus and say, can we talk to you about this quietly over here out of earshot of this woman? I guarantee you that didn't happen. They came to Jesus while this woman's standing there and say, send her away. We don't need her here. She's bothering us. And Jesus didn't respond to them. Now notice this in verse 24. She has continued asking, verse 23. She crieth after us, continually pray, asking. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, he is putting her, bringing her into a place where she understands what God is doing, giving her a better plan, can I say it, or a better idea of the plan of God. And what he's saying is so absolutely correct, is I'm not sent to you yet, sister. I'm sent to the house of Israel right now. You're coming, Gentiles are coming in, but right now I've come to get the house of Israel right. I've come to show them I'm the Messiah. I've come to reveal to them who I am. And so, sister, it's not your time yet. I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he actually teaches her something she would not know. And perhaps some of the disciples didn't understand it as well either. But he gives her a truth. That's an astounding truth. The more Bible you know, the more it'll help your faith. The more of the truth of God you know, the more it'll establish your faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And even this amount of the Word of God coming from the lips of Jesus increases her faith. Can I say it like this? The light bulb went off in her little brain and she says, now I know why I've been ignored, it seems like. The Lord lets her in on this. Aren't you glad when God shares the truth with you? Even though it may not be the truth that you want to know, but it is the truth that you need to know. It's the truth that I have to have. That's what this world doesn't want. We tell them the truth, we give them the truth, and we explain the truth to them, and they say, I don't want to know that. Our nation is dying today because they don't want truth. Yet they need truth more than anything. They need truth. But there are those who are without Christ that when they do hear some truth, it finds a lodging place in their heart. And this found a lodging place in her heart. Just these words. I'm not sent to the lost, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then they've arrived now. If you get the picture here, they've arrived at the house where they're going to stay there in Phoenicia. This woman follows them in. Some say that it may have been her house. Don't know about that. I somewhat doubt that because nothing is mentioned about the daughter being there. But they came to the house where they were staying, and she came in, verse 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now, here, listen to this. Lord, help me. You see, here she is. She's not giving up. She's had a word from Jesus, a word that might seem stern, but yet it's part of His plan. Then that's more than no response. So she gets this word from Christ and she comes into the house and she worships Him. She realizes who He is and she says humbly, Lord, help me. But He doesn't, even though He certainly appreciates our humility and her humility, that's not what He commends her for. We'll see it in a moment. And then He says something to her in verse 26. He answered and said, it is not meet or it's not worthy to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now He's saying to her, yes, you're in the house with us. You're here and just like the little pets. That's what He was talking about. Not the stray dogs that's outside trying to grab a piece of bread wherever they can, but the little pets, you know, the ones you have in the house, the little dogs that's part of the family. They would always eat under the table from the crumbs that the folks were eating. And what He says to her, He said, I've done told you a truth, sister. I've already given you a truth. But I'm not sent to you just yet. So she understands that. And she's worshiping Him because she's got that much truth. He's to be worshiped over that much truth. How much truth do we have to worship Him? How much truth do we have made known to us to worship Him? How much truth do we have to sing His songs? How much truth do we have enacted and made a part of our life in order just to grab hold of God? How much does it take to get my attention? She'd had one word. One sentence, she follows in the house and she falls at His feet and she worships. And then He says, sister, it's not the right thing for you to sit here with the disciples, for you to sit here with these Jewish men and eat, think you can eat of this table. And I cannot throw that like the little dogs run around the pets in the home and give them a bite. And then she makes an astounding statement. Verse 27. She said, truth, Lord. That's the best way in the world to get an audience with Jesus is to agree with Him with what He says about you and your situation. You'll never go further till you agree with God. That's what repentance is. Repentance is agreeing with God with what He says about you and your situation. Until you agree with it, it's a lost cause. You see, that's the first problem Adam and Eve had. Well, second problem. First problem was disobedience. That's the first sin. We all know that, don't we? The first sin, disobedience. The second sin, they wouldn't agree with God when He walked through the garden. That was Jesus. They wouldn't agree with Jesus as He walked through the garden there talking to Him, and He was giving them every opportunity to agree with Him. Have you eaten that fruit? Where are you? We're over here. We're hid. You know the story. Well, have you eaten, Eve? Have you eaten that? Adam? Did you eat? Nope, wasn't me. She gave it to me. Why didn't somebody just say what this gal said and said, yes, Lord, you're right. You hit the nail on the head. You're telling the truth, Jesus. That's repentance. But their second sin, they wouldn't agree with God with what their problem was. That this girl did. She said, "Truth, Lord, you are so right. I'm not a Jew. I understand a little more of your plan now, the plan of God. I'm not part of that plan right now. And Lord, you are so correct. But Lord, the dogs eat of the crumbs that's around the table. Oh, that's so wonderful. That's so wonderful. I'm just thankful to have a conversation with you." You see, all she was wanting was just to get a conversation with Jesus. Did you know we don't have recorded in our Bible any other ministry Jesus did in this place? This one miracle, as far as we know, is all the ministry that was ever done in this region of Tyre and Sidon. That was it. And this gal is the recipient of it, but more than that, her daughter was the recipient of it. And she, just because she agreed with him and is in repentance, "Yes, Lord, you're telling the truth, but can I be a dog? Dogs are allowed to gather crumbs. I don't want to eat at the table, Jesus. Just give me a crumb. Wouldn't you like to be a crummy Christian?" Hallelujah. Yeah. A crummy Christian. I want to be just a crumb or just a bite. Just something from your table. Just to be near you is wonderful. Just to hear you is wonderful. I don't understand everything, but I got a word straight from God. And now I have two sentences straight from God. And you've told the truth and I agree with you. But can a little pet dog have a crumb? And I love verse 28. "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." Wow, wow. Opposition to faith is out there everywhere to keep you from getting in the Word, coming to church, praying. The opposition of getting to Jesus is out there everywhere, trying everything, filling your mind with everything else but Him. The optimism you ought to have is the same optimism this lady has here. She was looking for any opportunity she could ever have just to get a conversation with Jesus. And she got it. And then He says, "Now, sis, you notice, be it unto thee even as thou wilt." What did He do here? He didn't just say, "The demon's gone out of your daughter," which that is what happened. But He said this: "Here's the key to the storehouse of heaven. Anything you want is yours because of that faith." He commends her faith. The key to the storehouse of heaven is hers. She not only got what she asked for in her daughter, but He says, "Here's a blank check. Write it for anything you want. Because number one, you already know who I am. And you have valued the truth that I've given you. You know my conversation with you, though small and limited. And you have worshipped. But most of all, you believe what you do know. Great is thy faith. Believingly, you can have anything you want." I said at the beginning, that great faith is what He recommended and commended in this. He commended that. She was humble, yes. She was worshipful, yes. She was persistent, yes. But her faith to believe, to hang on every word of Jesus. Even though she didn't know much, she believed what she did know. That's our problem. We as independent, fundamental, homogenized, simonized Baptists, we know so much. We don't believe but that much of what we do know. But this gal only had three sentences from Jesus and believed it and took it and said, "That being the case," and He said the dogs could be in here. Hey, I'm a dog. That's fine. Just give me a crumb. I don't need the whole table. I don't need to sit with these fellows. I don't need to be a Jew. I can have the whole thing. And then in John chapter 16, I believe it's verse 4, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, hereunto you've not asked anything of me, but if you'll ask anything in my name, I'll do it for you. John 16. And our Lord is letting this little Gentile girl in on it early. Long before John 16, that happened. Long before it ever came to pass. Now, let me give you a couple little things real quickly this morning. How much, when the Lord said, be it unto thee, how much did that key that he handed her unlock? What did it do for her? Well, immediately, Mark records this miracle, immediately, instantly, the demon was cast out of that daughter. Oh, what a blessing. The daughter wasn't with her, that I know at this time, but the demon was cast out, Mark said, instantly. So, the power to rebuke the demon inside that daughter immediately happened. The power to heal her, because the healing not only took place, not only the demon was gone, but demons always leave some things. They leave some baggage in a life. That life has to be redeemed. Now, they can be cast out. Thank God this one was. But there's some restoration that takes place. But not only was the demon gone, but the girl was healed immediately. And this is such a blessing. She went from eating crumbs under the table, eating the children's bread at the table. That's a glorious thing. Whatever you want, sister, you can have. So she went to eating the bread from the table. Did she physically enjoy the meal? I don't know. We do know that he said, great is your faith, whatever you want, here's the key. And someone said it like this, as you can trust me, Jesus says, I can trust you. As we trust him, as my faith grows and I trust him, then he can trust me. So he gives us that key to unlock a power in our life. Then I notice something else, another question to ask. When will the Lord give us the key? When will he give us the key? Well, put yourself back here with this lady. The key came when she agreed with God about herself. There's two things in the Bible, that Old Testament and New Testament, always moves the heart of God. Don't forget this. Doesn't matter what dispensation that it's been in, what block of time, the way God moves, whether it was in the age of innocence with Adam and Eve, or the age of government, or the age of law, whatever it was, two things has always moved the heart of God. Number one is repentance. Agreeing with God, with what he says, and what he says about you, what he says about our condition, with what he says, period. Agreeing with God. That always has moved the heart of God. Not how much you know to agree with, but agree with what you do know. Agreeing with God. Secondly, is faith. Faith has always moved the heart of God. Repentance and faith. And it moves him today. And the moment that this lady 2,000 years ago said, truth, Lord, there's repentance. She said, I know you're telling the truth, but the dogs can eat, there's faith. I can eat a crumb. I repent, Lord. I agree with you. But I can have a crumb. That's faith. And in our own lives, when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and He's dealing with you, and the Word of God is speaking to you and dealing with you, or the messages are speaking to you, you be quick to agree with God about that. Don't wrestle around and say, well, you know, I don't really know what that preacher's saying, or I don't agree with what I just read and it grabbed my heart. I don't agree with what I just heard in that song. Don't argue with that. You know the devil's not going to send that to you. I had one fella, and I wanted to reach across the table and slap him. And I would have, except his wife was there, and I didn't want to have a fight in front of her. But anyway, he said his daughter was a teenage daughter, and she was in a good meeting, a good revival meeting. And I wasn't there that night or anything, but I knew the preacher, and I thought he's going to preach the truth. Anyway, he said to me, he's sitting right back here in the library, a meeting they had with me, he said to me, you know, so-and-so, she was at this, quote, revival meeting, and this preacher was preaching, and there were people that went forward, and they were being saved, and she got up and started to go, and I grabbed her by the arm and said, that's not for you. The devil's telling you that. And I said to him in front of his wife, I said, that's a foolish thing to do. Why on God's earth would I try to hinder someone from responding spontaneously to the work of the Holy Spirit? Don't do that in your own life and don't do it for others. But listen, she in repentance, truth, Lord. And then in faith, can a dog have a crumb? And Jesus said, you sure can. Not only a crumb, here's the key. Sit at the table with us. Eat with us. Have anything you want. And when you see God's rightful position, as the Savior, the King, the Priest, the Healer, He's everything. When you see Him like that, then the key is yours. Yeah, you just get this, you see who He is. You see, can I have the key today? Will you agree with God, with what He speaks to us? Secondly, will you believe that He is this mighty King and Healer and Lord and Savior and my God and my Savior and my Lord? Can you believe that no matter how great your burden is or how great your problem is, that your Lord can handle that? She had something she had no way in the world of curing. She had to have desperate help for her daughter. Desperate. She had that. And I have no other resource, Jesus. No other resource. It's you. And ladies and gentlemen, we have the same God today. Don't you let the devil tell you otherwise. We have the same God. He's coming back for His church. You and I, though, we have the promise of John chapter 16, where Jesus tells us, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. We have that promise. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you for being so attentive this morning. In this wonderful passage, this miracle of our Lord, we see that great faith has brought about a great favor of God from her. Repentance and faith, no matter where you are in the Bible, has always moved the heart of God. Whether it's in the oldest book of the Bible in Job, or the first book of the Bible in Genesis, or the last book of the Bible in Revelation. Repentance, agreeing with God, and faith. Now, across our congregation, you have miracles you need today. You've got things you need. You have to have them. You might be in a position, same place, that this lady was. It may be for a child, it may be for someone else, maybe for yourself, that you need Jesus to touch. You need Him. Will you believe Him today? You trust Him today? You be persistent as this woman. But don't forget, just believe who He is and what He can do. Agree with Him with what He's told you. Follow Him with what He's given you. Listen to Him. And then He'll do it.